All right, here we go. In the house, 2024 Louisville City season preview. Scouse, this seems like a year we could add our third star. Yep. And I think the only way to kick that off, I'm excited about the season, is to bring in the two titans of ESPN that know everything USL. They forget more than we do on a daily basis about the USL. Devin Kerr and Mike Watts. Welcome, boys. Welcome back.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Glad to be here. These are these the John Hackworth approved bottles of
here we go.
Liquor? Never opened, never drank. Always no trusted. Chance. Always true.
Yep.
Did I ever tell you this? Watch, you know someone drank my 2020
Patron? Oh, brutal.
My God.
Brutal.
Absolutely ridiculous. Look at this. We need a new one of these, Danny Cruz. We need a final win. We need a 2024 bottle. From someone, just saying.
Absolutely.
But I think you asked a real question, which is like, how are we doing? Good to see you guys. This is fantastic. I'm sorry about the alcohol.
You got to start off with some alcohol, you know what I'm saying? You know, because it wouldn't be a discussion about football without booze.
Smoking right. Like a true Liverpudlian.
Absolutely.
Watts is doing better than all of us. Watts, you apparently, you got a new backdrop. Is this the new room in the new house?
This is real. This is the man cave. Real. This is real wood paneling. No kidding.
Did your parents give that to you, or did you find it at a trailer park?
Oh my God.
No, this is somewhere in between. Keep going.
See, what's strange is he's actually locked in the basement. Nobody knows that though.
I'm locked in the attic. You kidding?
Would you go in the attic or the basement if you had to choose where you were going to live?
Basement cooler, colder. Yeah,
for sure. The wine collection is no problem down there. Which obviously you had to bring all that with you from your last establishment.
I did.
Sorry, boys. Guys, thank you for having us. What a
it's
time
been a minute be since we've been together, but Woo, it's been yep. a minute since Devin and I have been together too, which is not this is not a good thing for you guys.
No.
So can we expect any the pair of you in Louisville anytime soon?
Yeah. Dev, I'm
April,
thinking
May, June, July. Watson, are we allowed to talk about
are you
what's
saying
going
one
on
of those months? I would suggest that I'll suggest that we will be in Louisville this year at some point for a game of some significance, potentially a second if you get there.
Yeah, I'll make
I
you
see
deal.
Your perspective.
I'll be nicer than that. I think there's a good chance we'll be there in the first half of the season.
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
That sounds like a plan.
I can say that without getting fired, right?
Yeah.
In theory.
Here, yeah.
Said it. Let's
Look,
see what
Devin and I are going to be extremely proximate to Louisville at one point in time over the first half of the season.
If you and Mike are still talking, since y'all haven't talked to each other for a while, if y'all are still talking, you can do the dinner like me and you and Scouse and a few others that we won't mention on the podcast to protect the innocent did last time.
Are we still on is this PG-13? Are we rated R? What are we saying?
No.
I mean, we're not going to go over.
R.
Don't
as
let
this
asshole fool you. This piece of shit, I talked to him 2 days ago. I texted him like 3 hours ago.
I mean, in this context, we haven't been talking.
Oh, yeah. That's
recorded.
That's fair.
That we know of.
Yeah, that we know of. Some of that leaked audio keeps coming out, which is strange, but yeah.
Iffy.
How are you, gentlemen? How's life?
Doing fabulous. You know, it's been a busy off season for me because, you know, I work at a local hotel and it's under renovation. So even though the hotel's been slower, it makes up for the complete renovation it's going through. So I've been keeping busy, but now I'm getting more and more emails and texts from both teams. So I've been kind of itching to get back into the swing of things and get behind the goal in Scouse's house.
Not a boy. Kenny,
things are good. Yeah, things are good. We actually did a really cool thing this last weekend. So we had both our daughters, our son-in-law came in and we did the Louisville Orchestra, but wait for it, with Star Wars playing in the background. If you ever get to see something like this, we did it. My wife and I did it. It was the last thing we did before lockdown. We did the Empire Strikes Back. And they just did it for the one with Rey and BB-8 and Finn, all that. I think it's a Rise of the Resistance or something like that. Mm-hmm. We did that on Saturday. Real, really cool experience, very immersive. So probably the only way to get me to the orchestra is to throw on Star Wars and throw some lightsabers around. Double wood fruit.
You're obviously aware who Anthony Daniels is, correct?
We'll say yes for this instance.
Okay. Okay. So Anthony Daniels, for people at home that don't know, for the Star Wars fandom, Anthony Daniels is the gentleman who voiced C-3PO. In every single movie, obviously, that he was available. In 2000, it was either 9 or 10, I had moved back from Germany. And previously, I worked for a musician. I worked for Yanni as a personal assistant. And this is before I went and signed a contract and played and then moved back. When I moved back, my buddies were out on tour and they'd come to South Florida. And it was guys that had worked for Yanni, but kind of like in the TV industry, like guys do soccer games. They also do basketball and football. And I'm not just talking about talent. I'm talking cameramen and audio and things like that. So these guys were on the Star Wars Orchestra tour, which at that point in time was like backed by Lucas. And it was super cool. And ended up meeting Anthony Daniels at the Atlantic Hotel and had a whiskey with him, which was super nice. So
cool.
I know exactly what you're talking about. It was a really fun experience. Great recommendation.
So anyone that was playing Scouse's House Bingo tonight, if you had Yanni, go ahead and we'll postage stamp that.
Y'all been playing Word Sneak on this podcast and didn't tell me? Wow.
Well, I mean, Deb and I do text occasionally, so I mean, there may have been a little insider thing on this.
What's the thing I sent you I sent you like a week ago or 2 weeks ago? I remember like I DM'd you it or I emailed it to you and I said, oh, we should work this in instead of Word Sneak. Do you remember that or no?
I'm going to have to plead the all the amendments, actually. I'm going to have to plead all the amendments.
As we go on through this show, I'm going to find it. Don't worry, guys. I know you're freaking
out. Okay.
So if anybody tuned into this podcast to hear something about Louisville City FC, we'll go ahead and try to kickstart that in gear.
We may just fit him in. We'll
get your own show and go somewhere else.
All right, we'll slot a few in.
In the second hour, Devin and I take on Racing Louisville.
But truly, truly appreciate you guys. I mean, y'all been friends of ours for actually back since the championship game when GDA Drogba, but you remember Devin and Mike kept trying to kick it across over into Churchill Downs from the old Louisville University of Louisville.
There.
Yeah, he hit a couple there. Yeah,
that's right.
He kept trying to chuck him from about 40 yards, and he should have been from about 2 or 3. Maybe.
Should we start with a trivia question right now?
Go on in.
You're in.
Go ahead.
I can't phrase it the way I was gonna phrase it because it would give it away. Who assisted Didier Drogba's first ever goal in the USL
ever?
Championship? In USL Championship.
Watts. Come on.
All right. You got
I
me.
Mean, let's, yeah, let's
Kevin Lambert?
No. No, he no. If Kevin you guys Lambert. Had it, you guys, any of you fools put it together and had half a brain, come on. I wouldn't just bring that up randomly right now.
No, I'm trying to think of a Louisvillian Phoenix player, you know, Aiden Quinn.
I have no clue.
Oh, you guys, honestly, like,
this is a great minute and a half of dead air, Dev.
I'm a Dudia.
Of course, yeah.
There you go.
That was my second guess.
There's your Louisvillian.
Yeah.
Bah humbug.
I got a shout down here the other day, and I promise we'll get to the footballing side in a second.
We don't have to. We're good.
I got a shout down here the other day because someone said, I was talking bourbon with this guy at the bar, and he goes, oh, yeah, you know, where do you go? Where do you travel? And we were talking about work and stuff. And I said, Louisville. And he goes, oh, and you even say it right. I was like, listen, man, I may not get a lot of things right in my life, but you best believe I know how to pronounce my boy's place.
I don't make comments about other commentators other than to say I was watching a mouse-owned network where Louisville kept getting mentioned. I'm not having it.
The mouse pays the bills, bro. Don't knock him. It wasn't me.
The mouse pays for like the water and the electric.
He goes a little bit further than that.
Oh boy.
All right, let's talk footy.
So we were hanging out with Danny Cruz Scouse. We were hanging out with him, what, about two weeks ago? Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, if you can't drop Cruz, I mean, who can? So, but he brought up something that was really interesting. He was, it's leading to what this offseason has been about, really, for Lou City, I think. And that's why we've got both Mike and Devin on here to kind of break it down more, the insider knowledge on these other folks coming in. But Scouse, do you remember like where he just kind of took a pause and he was like, I am pissed off.
Yeah, I remember that.
I'm the only manager of Louisville City that doesn't have a championship.
Yeah.
And this offseason, I mean, I'm well into us plucking the best players from other teams.
Yeah.
And bring them to our side. I've got no qualms with that at all. And I think that's actually a really nice thing to be able to do. And I think, you know, talking to name drop JOC, we had that conversation too, Scouse. That was about 3 weeks ago. And just talking about where Louisville City has become a place that you can progress your career. And we're okay with you staying for 2 or 3 years. And hopefully we can give you opportunities to go somewhere else. Manny Perez, great. Great example. We love Manny.
Yeah.
Hate to see him go. But
loved him. Hate to see him go, but, you know, he's doing what he has to do.
And he wanted to do, and that was part of his thing, is that he wanted to go back to Europe. And so to give them that, and that's their vision, that's their goal. And I'm wondering if some of these players that we've been all pluck in, i.e. Pittsburgh Riverhounds players here, Watch Kerr. It's kind of nice to be able to go against your biggest adversary and say, you know, we'll take Defender of the Year, and then we'll take that really great guy that England. Striker, 6'3", and you can't teach that.
Nope.
I'm into that.
Yeah, yeah, because what my stance was last season with when Martin Powers came in, and you know, you got the big beanpole right in the middle of the attack that really didn't pan out. But hopefully that our new signing from Pittsburgh is gonna take a leaf out of, a good center forward, get right in there, get when the ball's coming in, get it headed down, because I miss a good old fashioned center forward in the middle of the attack. So what are you guys thinking of?
Watts, me or you?
Yeah. All right. Look, I
hey, so Brumlow, he's talking a bunch of shit.
I should have sent you crumbles. We could have had the same thing. Sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'll take another bite here.
Yeah, go for it. I think there's an element of, you want to take players around the league that have obviously performed and at a championship winning level. So naturally, you can go get Tola Shoenmi and you go and get Arturo Ordóñez.
Right.
You've definitely hit both marks. Right, of strengthening yourself, weakening arguably the best rival against you these past couple of years. But I also think it was a lot more focused this year in finding guys that have performed in the league. In particular, like Martin Powell's is a good example, ticked all the boxes, but it just didn't. I don't know if he didn't really mesh in over here. I don't know if his style didn't mesh in over here. If coming in mid-season is difficult for anybody, I don't really know. But it was clear pretty quickly he wasn't all that mobile. And when Cam went down and Wilson wasn't totally in form, okay, where do you go now? And Tola, I think, is a really good second option that can spot start and start in certain occasions where, I mean, both of them are going to run their tails off for 90 minutes or as long as they're out there. And so in that sense, I think you found like a complementary piece. They're different, but complementary in how you don't really have to change everything to go about it. Taylor Davila, I love that one. Is that
a rhino in the background? What are you doing there, Kenny? You're vacuuming?
I'm not doing anything.
Getting lots of feedback.
It's gone. Yes.
Yeah, it's Kenny. He did it. He turned around and it's gone now.
It's his team's meeting that Devin wanted us to do it on. So,
what?
That's weird. but to get it to Devin, like, I love Sam Gleadle. I think Jake Morris has shown some really good things. I I believe Ordonez bucks what's been a bit of a trend. I've heard other GMs around the league sort of go, how many Pittsburgh center backs leave and end up being successful elsewhere? I think the numbers are starting to tip in that direction, but I know like Devin was a huge fan of Arturo coming out of Pitt as well. And he probably was the best center back Bob's had since he got there, you could argue. So I don't know that that's really an apples to apples thing. Adrian Perez, I've always liked. Like, they went out and got a lot of guys that were successful in the league, fit the team. And then this is the final sort of generational shift they had talked about for the last however many years. Like, you kept Nile. You could argue Toch is at the point now where he's sort of old guard. You kept Ombi. Other than that, like, this is largely, we're at Hack and Danny's team, largely now just Danny's team.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah, because a lot of the old guard have gone because, you know, I hate to see Cam go, but, you know, he's left and it's good for the team, you know, and now it's all down to Wilson Harris. He's got to step up to the plate.
And the best ability is availability. Uh-huh. Cam at his best is as good as this league can muster. There's also a reason he ended up in Lexington, and that's not a knock on the player. It's just he needs to be healthy enough to give it a go, and I really hope he does because he can go score like 30 goals down there.
I get where you guys are coming from in the idea of the best players. Respectfully, I don't think they're the best. I think the pickups are smart though. My biggest question, as Mike alluded to, this is, you know, largely Danny's team now, is this is going to be a locker room thing for me? Who's going to be the locker room leaders? Who's going to be the ones that take charge of all of this? I think it's easy to lean on guys like Nile, understandably so. Toch is going to be there as well. And Brian Ownby.
Yeah.
Beyond that, you just lost a lot.
We did.
You lost a lot of experience within the group, within the league. I know Kyle Morton was hurt, but the loss of he and Ali Zemla, all of a sudden you're looking around and it's, okay, are we going to get, what's his name? Loney. Damien, thank you. Are we going to get Damien to step up to the plate and be the number one guy? I mean, Damien Loss proved that he was more than capable of it in MLS Next Pro. Like, he led them in shutouts and goals against average in 2023 for a reason. Like, he was that good. That's a very different level, with all due respect. That's not a knock on the player. That's saying that the level of competition that you face in MLS Next Pro is light years behind compared to what you're going to face in the USL Championship. I'm sure in time we'll see that change, but at this point in time right now, look, man, I could walk out my door and go play in a Sunday league, and I'm sure I'd probably still be the best player out there if I had a knee.
Mm-hmm.
If I had a knee.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing. Like, I think it remains to be seen as to whether or not he's going to be the guy. We saw the level that Danny Fondes can bring to the league, but that was also a very small sample, 9 games en route to the final in 2022. Arturo Ordonez is probably the best bit of business, in my opinion. Danny Cruz has always had the idea, respectfully so, of, you know, shifting on their terms, not another team. Now, at the end of a game, I get that. But Arturo gives you the flexibility to do a little bit of everything on the back line, because you can play Arturo anywhere you want on the back three. You can play him at either one of the center backs. Now, certainly it's the right side that's going to be preferred, but this opens things up with three really strong center backs and a little bit of depth, because Kyle Adams is there as well, as opposed to we've got one center back playing really well and two or three guys that can kind of fill the void a little bit. So I think that's a massive pickup. The guys moving forward, yes, you lose goals for sure. Don't make a mistake and think that Tola is going to be the one that's going to fulfill that. Certainly that would be fantastic if he does. Mm-hmm. But I see depth and versatility within the pickup here because of the changes that Danny likes to do, the way he wants to attack. Tola understands, because of where he's come from, what it's like to play off of a target striker. He can also be the hold-up guy himself. Lest we forget that this is a guy who's coming out of the Pittsburgh Riverhounds who just played next to the MVP in 2023, right? Prior to his departure to Rhode Island. So Now we're looking around going, okay, can he be the guy? He doesn't need to be the guy. He's got to learn how to play off of Wilson. He's got to learn to play with speed more quickly. That's probably the biggest thing here is playing off of him as the point, playing through him at times. Okay. Can he go in transition? Can you get him out on the wing? That's where also you're going to be able to move him around because of the pickup with Adrian Perez. I can't wait to see, Mike alluded to him earlier, what they're going to do with Sam Gleadel. Sam Gleadel is an outside marking back on the left side. This kid has become the greatest Swiss Army knife to hit the Western Conference in the USL Championship. Just out of necessity for coaches. San Antonio did it. Frank Yallop did it in Monterey Bay. Danny Cruz is going to have the ability to go, I need you on the front three in this 4-3-3. I want to drop you into the midfield and play you as a double eight. He'll be able to do it. He can play him in a wing back. He can do a little bit of everything. So while I don't necessarily agree with the idea that they went and got the best players, I think that he went and got the best players to help the system. Because it's not like the top 10 guys in the league, but they're guys that can quickly step in theory, and fill a lot of different roles for Lou City.
Yeah, and Dev, am I wrong in saying we've seen enough teams try and pull off the 10 guys in, all of them have been all league at some point, and it just flops? Like, if there's not a cohesive plan, it's irrelevant. And that's what I'm most inspired that they, if you're going to let Paolo go, like, I'm not saying Taylor Davila is exactly like Paolo. I'm just saying you found someone who can take a lot of that midfield engine work and some of that physicality, and, you know, they've filled gaps well. And to Devin's absolute point, like, it needs to be someone else is going to have to lead. Yep. And it's not just that you lost Cam. It's not just that you lost Paolo. Like, even you lost Luke, who was still in the building, running the academy. Yeah. And was probably a big hand with a lot of the young guys that were coming in, like Carlos Miguel and, you know, and Jogo and some of these academy guys. Owen Dom might have a significant role this year if needed. So you've also lost sort of that connector between the first team and your academy as well that you have to recreate in the aggregate. So it's not to say it's not going to happen. It's just there's a lot of new role definition.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is. There's quite a bit of change in the backroom staff because, you know, we've lost Luke. He's left the building, and hopefully that Paolo, when he goes into the academy, he can pick up that role. But, you know, it's definitely going to be different. But hopefully that you know, that he can hit the ground running and just continue with the success, because we were talking with Danny and JOC. Just a few weeks ago, and that's one of the things that we were talking about is, you know, how well the academy has done. And, you know, because it seems like everybody is calling,
got him,
murderer
video.
Like, freaking, I'm like Miyagi over here with my freaking chopstick. You see that catch? Got him.
But, you know, I think Louisville's got this really good thing going right here with the economy, because it seems like that everyone around the country and even in Europe are starting to dip into it. So, you know, I'm happy to be here that I can go down to the academy and see it with my own eyes, you know. But, you know, there's a lot of different changes now at Louisville City and for Racing Louisville, because a lot of the old guard are now gone and they've moved on to better things, or well, not better things. You've gone on and
new ventures. You
know, yeah, new ventures. Thank you very much. Yeah. So it'd be interesting to see this season how people are going to cope with it. And I'm expecting good things. And I was really disappointed that we didn't make it to the final this year. You know, I was really disappointed, but that the bar here has been set high.
The outgoings, 12 outgoings, 8 incomings, drop an age of 4 years. I mean, that goes right into what y'all are saying about the difference in the guard. Is my feedback still really bad? Mike, you're like smiling.
No, you're good. It's just like it went from nothing to something, but that something isn't inhibiting my ability to hear you. So I'm sorry that my poker face is horrible. I'm sorry.
Watts is basically talking about his love life on a Friday night. Keep going.
Just a lot of feedback. But we're definitely getting younger in age, so it's definitely a change in the guard, like you said. But, you know, one thing that Danny did talk about is he's still trying to figure out who his new captain's going to be with Paolo gone. Paolo's been here for a long time, leading the club for, mm-hmm. you know, lots of changes through even the triumvirate. Which guys do you guys see stepping up that, other than the obvious of Tosh being here for quite a while, I mean, who you guys look to?
You got to be on the field to captain the team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that's why my first thought would be Tosh, not Niall, but that's just based on Niall having struggled to remain on the field enough to sort of garner the band with consistency. You know, obviously Brian, you know, typically is more 70 minutes than 90. So mm-hmm. when you get a center back like Sean, but ultimately that stuff is decided in the room. Like Dev, you know better than anybody. You played this game long enough. Like ultimately it's, I don't want to say only a respect factor, but you know, like you got to both talk the talk and walk the walk at simultaneously.
And you also can't walk into a room and just because you've done something somewhere else, that doesn't mean you're going to get the nod. I remember the first time I didn't captain a team from the age of like 6 years old was freshman year of college. I get it. I wasn't a starter. I stepped in. There was a pecking order there. I switched club teams and came back. So basically from 8 until 18, I'd been with the same youth club. So I go to college and I'm not captain. Fine. I could swallow that. They're you know, 4 years and all that stuff. When I went to a different club to play U19 in the spring and summer of my college year, because you could still do that then, I'm sure you can now. I wasn't captain of that team, and yet the team that I was on, I knew everyone, and I knew I carried their respect. A lot of the guys, we had actually, you know, up until 14 or 15, we had been on the same team. So where I'm going with this is I would, you know, you could look at someone like Arturo to lead your team, but I don't see him wearing the band just because of the historical importance of what that moniker carries in general, yet alone in Louisville. Yeah, I think in a perfect world, it'd be great to see Tosh wear that. We've seen him do it at certain points in time throughout the season in a game. I'm not necessarily sure he's the number one choice. I'm not saying that I know something that, you know, oh, this is bad or, oh, I heard this. That's not at all. I'm just guessing. There's someone that I've always wanted to see become that type of person. To Mike's point, you got to be on the field. He's just never healthy enough, and I feel like he could be the type of person to wear that. It's Jorge Gonzalez. He's fiery. He's got a lot of respect mm-hmm. by everyone. The guy's got talent, no doubt, but, like, unfortunately for him, he's had so many injuries. You can't be on the field 60% of the season and regularly be the first-choice guy to lead everybody out of the tunnel, right? So
mm-hmm. I'd also be interested, like, Amadou's getting to that point in his career, too. Like, people give him a lot of praise for how he sort of handles himself in being ready to play. That the hamstring, same sort of soft tissue injuries the last, you know, last year. But, like, Amadou, I think, carries plenty of respect as well. Like, the team's not devoid of captains candidates. It's just finding the right one.
Yeah, because when we were talking to the coach, that's what he was saying, he's bringing in plenty of people into the team, and one of them would be a real good candidate for that role, but he didn't allude to who it was. And talking to you two, now we're getting a bit of an insight of who it may actually be.
Take the Louisville native, man, at least in terms of the collegiate route. You could take Dylan Maris, too. He knows what he's doing. He could carry a team in a heartbeat. We've seen him do it at multiple stops. He's another one that, like, I think you got nowhere near close to the tip of the iceberg with Dylan Maris last season.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Like, I think that kid's a brilliant footballer, and you give him the opportunity to shine, he'll lead on off the field. He'll do a little bit of everything. He's a seasoned pro. He's got got his head on his shoulders, family. Like, he just wants to work, and people follow that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, other than Louisville City, who are you feeling that is going to be the biggest challenges this year?
Ooh, East, West, overall, what?
Overall.
Man, Charleston's going to be really good.
Yeah, it's difficult like, to not that look at the team that made the final.
That, yeah, but that's not their high water mark. That was year one with a mix of guys that they brought in with. And I know Fidel Barajas left. It's not to say they only swapped good players for bad. But, I mean.
They got better.
They got better.
They got better.
And, you know, there were moments last year where Ben was really candid, Ben Pierman, about this isn't the final sort of evolution of this yet. Like, we're only just getting started, and you know, we're happy with the results, but we're process oriented. And it's one thing to say that, but we watched him do it in Detroit, and then we saw him do it in Memphis, and we're seeing him do it in Charleston. Like, they never take a step back. That's not the Pierman way. And Lee Cohen's a brilliant thinker in the front office too. So, like, Charleston's going to be really scary. Like, Tampa Bay, I thought made really shrewd moves. Really, really smart. Not like the most splashy additions. Nick Moon, obviously, you know, we know from his time in Indy and all that, but like, they didn't bring in a ton of names per se. Joshua Perez gets a full year there, and I'm excited to see that. Manuel Arteaga comes off the best year of his career. You know, there's some nerve-wracking stuff there too. Also, Las Vegas ain't a doormat anymore, and Hartford isn't either. The two worst teams in the league last year might go break Charleston's number for biggest game. Genuinely.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, I'm with you, but no, I'm with everything that Watch just said. I just want to be clear here. While both of those teams are trending in that direction,
neither of them are competitors to win.
Pen and paper is a very different conversation than field of play. You and I both know that. And I have a ton of respect for what Brennan has done in Hartford so far, and they haven't even played a single game. I mean, that is a totally different organization already. Good for their owner for finally getting out of the way and letting someone do it the right way. No problem saying that whatsoever. Vegas, I'm very interested to see what direction they go, because it seems like Bautista has an idea, has good people in the background pointing him in the right direction. And that direction is a footballing community, not an entertainment venue. And that's something that was lost a couple of years ago. Look at Waxton Wayne for Vegas when they came in and felt like they kind of grabbed it a little bit with Eric Winalda. And then the second that he was gone, it just never really hit there. I don't think it's far-fetched for me to say that Charleston got the biggest free agent in the offseason, if you want to say it that way, and Aaron Malloy. And what that kid has done to his career is, you know, I think just every single year, the young man, which is odd because he's 27 now, he just feels a level of disrespect. I don't blame him. Liked him because he was a Nittany Lion. My whole family are Penn State fans. Love him now, getting an opportunity to regularly watch and cover him. Ben Pierman, head coach at Charleston, has talked about him for a long period of time. Remember that not only does he have the Detroit background, but this is a Michigan State assistant coach who saw him up close on a regular basis and knew exactly what that kid was. And Charleston just added everything, right? So, yeah, you get Aaron Malloy in the midfield, but I look up top. Augie Williams, all due respect, had a semi-decent season. You add an influx of players that give you the ability to now add layers and not be so one-dimensional. That was my biggest knock on Charleston last year in the best of ways. Like, Charleston was just really efficient at what they did, but you knew what they were going to do. Just could you stop it, right? It wasn't Phoenix throwing 20 different players at you in a 95-minute stretch and tactically adjusting here and overlaps and underlaps and long ball and target. They didn't do all that. They played traditional football overlapping outside backs, you know, through balls, deep lying sixes, like things that were pretty easy to pick up in terms of patterns of play, but they're really good at doing that. But now you have Jackson Conway. MD Myers is a really interesting kid who tore it up in college and just don't really think he's ever been given the shot, to be fair. Jake LaCava, we've seen this before, and a guy that ran all the way to the final that fell just short under Lee Cohen and the Tampa Bay Rowdies. I think Indy's got something to prove. Indy, Mike talked about how earlier, you know, they've got this roster that is, you know, we've seen teams go after kind of the big names and it didn't go so well. Indy 11 is that team. So Sean McCauley has now come over from Minnesota United, and, you know, there were a lot of really big names. You guys would be shocked to hear some of the names that were going on for that job. And so Sean McCauley gets the job, and they've got kind of, they've got the young groups because that academy's pretty decent. They've certainly got the tip of like these really experienced players and then some guys in between. You know, outside of that, I know, Memphis, Birmingham, Detroit, Tulsa don't really like the business that they did. At least in terms of trying to keep up and compete with everybody else. Watts, fair?
Yeah, and Tulsa, talk about a brutal offseason because you went full bore in one direction and you were committed to it. And then Sam Doerr peels off to the league office and Blair Gavin peels off to New England. And you're like, oh, shit, square one. Now, to be fair, you went out and got, like, the league blue blood guys. You went and got Mario and you went and got Luke to sort of lead that thing. But, I mean, like, damn. You went all the way down the path only to have to turn back and start over again. Like, they still have some talented players, but, like, you know, that's going to be a reclamation process at the very beginning to figure out what they want to be because –
Don't forget they lost Richie Ryan, too, which is a big name. Yep. You know, he took off to FC Cincinnati. He's the head coach of the 19s now. Like, that wasn't just the visionary up top and the men on the sidelines. Like, that back room was decimated.
And it's not
them.
To say,
like, they deserve the opportunities.
Absolutely they do. And the guys that are going to take that club over deserve the opportunity.
Yeah.
However, am I wrong, Devin? Like, Sam Doerr's MO has always been extraordinary traits. I guess would be the way I'd describe his recruitment process.
It's fair.
That hasn't been Louisville's approach. So you bring two guys over from Louisville and it's not necessarily looking for extraordinary traits. You've got a roster full of those guys, but now you actually have to make them work together. And I know there were moments where Blair was a little bit, I think, frustrated at trying to grasp some of the younger guys getting there. He goes, there's times, dude, where I've got four guys that are 20 years and younger. You know, these are all rookies, and I'm trying to figure it out. And then you've got these high-priced guys on the high end because, in theory, they've got that money. So, you know, like that's going to be a really interesting thing to watch. Tulsa has every possibility of being decent and every possibility of finishing bottom three in the East.
Also, as
far as I'm concerned, too, is that, you know, they've taken Mario Sanchez out there and they've taken Luke out there from Louisville. If there's two guys that can really put a good stamp on that team, it would be those two, because what they did in the academy here at Louisville was just absolutely phenomenal. And I'd be interested to see how they are going to pull that off when the season starts too.
And they're hell-bent on getting the academy right in Tulsa.
Yeah. Because I think that's the good basis for any team is making sure that the academy is done right. Because heaven forbid you don't want to end up being like a freaking Tottenham Hotspur, do you? And
sending your castaway to Germany only to not win the title.
Yeah,
he'll win the Golden Boot.
Yeah.
<He will.
laughs> Poor guy. So I know my feedback's coming in hot. So two quick questions for me, and I'll let Scouse finish the rest of this thing out. So talk to us about what Louisville City is going to look like playing back three this year, because it's pretty apparent that's going to happen. And then give us your preseason power rankings, at least where Lou City slots in. And if they're not in the top five, I will make more feedback happen. Thank you.
Get in there, Dev.
Yeah. So respectfully, it's pretty apparent. I don't want to say I would be hesitant on that. I get where you're going with it. I would just say that I would be cautiously optimistic. The only reason I say that is if there's one thing I know about this organization, notice I said organization, not Danny, is that they don't tie themselves to any one way. And so maybe the idea right now is that that's the way that they want to play. I would go back to the comments that we started with and just the amount of flexibility you have with the personnel. That being said, you know, you're going to have a decision to make on the back line. My initial thought is going to be that it would be Arturo in the middle with Sean on the right and Wes Sharpie on the left. That's who I would pick if I was in a grand scheme, if they're all playing at their best, those are the three that I would lean with. Damian Loss is probably the first choice goalkeeper. Then you're going to decide, okay, is this going to be, are we going to overload, when I say we, and, you know, speaking in Danny's terms of the midfield, do you want to have a midfield that's dominant? Maybe you play with five triangular in the midfield. Do you want to put emphasis on a single 10? Again, you have a look with multiple guys in there that you don't have to say, we're going to do it this way. I really want to see a big progression this year out of Carlos. How the hell are we saying his last name since we change it every freaking game we call, Mike?
I think we're stuck on Mogal at the moment.
It's Mogal.
One of my favorite calls ever. He's not a kid. He's a mogul. He's not a kid. That's a mispronunciation. Damn it.
You know, one player we didn't talk about was the departure of Tyler Gibson. And, you know, respectfully, I understand that maybe he wasn't that Mr. Consistent, super efficient on the ball as he was in years past. He still gave the team plenty of minutes and he gave the team depth when needed. You lost that. That puts, to me, more responsibility on Carlos's shoulders. But this is still a guy that, going back to the academy and the comments that we hear from every single coach, is one of the best box-to-box midfielders they've had in the organization ever. Mm-hmm. And we've seen him now. This will be the third year, fourth playing, but third as a pro. I just think he gives you the ability to do so much. And his side-to-side, playing on the half turn, a little bit quicker, you know, getting that push while also being the Mr. Consistent deep down. Like, I would love to see him in there regularly. If he can shore himself up, he's got my pick. Again, deciding if you want to play with five in the middle or if you want to play with two flat and three up top changes the conversation. You got to go with Wilson, Brian. Again, just to start, Jorge Gonzalez. I'd like Dylan Maris in front of Carlos. That second spot is difficult. Dia on the left. Right's a good question. Right's a really good question. Is this where you explore the one-on-one capability defending-wise with Sam Gliedel? Because you're asking more offensively on that side, and you've got the coverage with Arturo Ordonez and Sean Tosh. Again, these are things that you run through yourself, where Louisville having this conversation in 2015, 16, 17, 18, something like that, you're probably looking to try and fill a role. Now it's like, we can get this look this way and then change to this look that way, but not change any actual personnel. So that's kind of the toys that Danny Cruz has at his disposal now. I don't know. That's an initial look. I know that I didn't bring Taylor in. I know Tola's not in there yet. You know, friendly reminder, you know, Ray Serrano is still a guy that, if you can get to develop him a little bit more, he can play in that half channel spot on the inside. You can play him up top. Again, two strikers, three strikers, you get a little bit of everything. To me, the foundation starts on the back. So if you can figure out your five or three with your two outside wingbacks, I think the rest is gravy from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah. I think when you allowed Tyler to go, you basically said Carlos is capable of doing that job. I think you brought in a really competent couple of midfielders that could take in that role if needed. We're also talking in terms of everyone being healthy. Yeah. So with a three back, you've successfully figured out, you know, okay, you still have Kyle Adams as another option if you need to go one deeper there. Elijah Winder hasn't been mentioned yet. That's a guy who Danny felt the 4-3-3 sort of left him in a unique scenario. as opposed to the 3-4-3 where he can sort of operate in multiple roles within a game from one position that sort of fit him better. Or, you know, to Dev's point, you know, do you go with that four in the midfield? Do you go another route? We saw Elijah's best ball probably in September or October when they made that switch. Yeah. And now you're looking at doing it full time. So where's he fit into this? He's still only 21. Like, he's still a relative child. The power rankings thing, I don't necessarily do power rankings, but we're looking at, yeah, I know. Yeah. We're looking at largely the same group that we were looking at last year. I think Orange County losing Milan Olasky, that's a huge, huge loss. That's going to be a lot to suffer through in the early going. But then we said that when their previous 20 goal striker left. So, like, maybe they'll just go do it again. Louisville, Phoenix, Charleston, San Antonio getting Kevin Lambert the day we're recording this, whenever it goes out. That's huge. Colorado Springs will always have potential to go spring a run, but they haven't shown consistency. Tampa Bay is going to be good. Pittsburgh will always be there. You know, it's the same 7-8 teams that I'm willing to bet on right now. You know
what?
Yeah.
Can I give a shout to, and I have no problem saying this because I think the writing was on the wall. I want to give a shout out to Oscar Jimenez, former Louisville, you know, Iron Man, whatever you want to call him. You know, we were on this pod in the spring of 2022, and you guys had a lot of new blood coming in there, right? One of the questions asked was kind of who would be kind of on the outs. And I said, Oscar Jimenez. And that was certainly the case. While I am no soothsayer, I was so happy to see him kind of turn a corner, because in 2022, he was almost left for dead, no spot whatsoever. And last year at certain points in time, I get it because of injury, he was one of the cleaner, more consistent players that worked himself back into
absolutely agree
regular opportunities. And I love the fact that while I don't necessarily want to see him in Memphis, that's not a knock on Memphis. I just think it's super cool to see that he kind of played himself back into a starting role.
Because the two guys that I'm really going to miss is actually Ollie. One, because even though
he's right in your grill.
Yeah, he's right there in my grill, and he's a super guy, and he always engaged with the supporters right behind him. And Oscar,
yeah,
you know, Oscar's a really good guy, and you know what, I think we're going to miss him. I really do, you know. But they've moved on, and I wish them both well, and hopefully they go from success to success, but not against Louisville.
Yeah, and also give Oscar a lot of credit, because switching off the left, that was his. It was his for like 5 years. No one was going to move him out of there. And, you know, whether it was, you know, Amadou and Manny coming in together and him sort of becoming a swing between the two sides, or Manny going down and having to play on the right for a run of games, like, he never looked as comfortable over there, and he never made it a problem. He never made it Danny's problem. Which a lot of guys.
I'm sure. If Danny wanted to play in goal, he'd play in goal if he wanted to, you know, because that's the kind of guy he is.
In case you don't know, Oscar is the world's best hidden secret as a holding midfielder. In case you guys didn't know that, ask him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I promise, Oscar, all love, buddy. And yes, my shorts did get shorter, man. Don't worry.
Yeah.
he'll know what that means.
So you guys, tell us about these expansion teams. We've got, we've got Milwaukee, we've got Rhode Island, Sporting Jacksonville, and the USL Pro Iowa. Do you have
Des Moines, baby?
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Yeah.
So have you guys got any intel on those guys?
Yeah, I mean, look, from a practical standpoint, there's sort of a joint in Milwaukee. With Marquette, which I think is brilliant for all involved. They've got a great college program up there, but they've also it's also a really fertile area of talent. So I'm excited to see what they can do up there. You know, Des Moines, Jacksonville plans on joining Super League in a year, which means their championship team should come right with it. So we're probably talking, I would assume then 2 years to see the championship in. I don't know what order they're going to come in because of the international calendar in the Super League. Rhode Island went out and spent. They spent some real coin. They went out and got a really good coach who's been the second bench boss in Birmingham, in Conno Smith, and then, you know, brought him to an area that he knows really well from his time in New England and basically said, go find what you want. I know for a fact there's a couple guys that they were going after that they didn't end up getting, from what other coaches have told me.
Aaron Malloy. Sorry, my bad. Yeah,
that's one.
sorry about that.
but, you know, like, they have every potential to be pretty scary from the jump. And then they're building that awesome venue in Pawtucket that I think is going to be top three or four away days in the league. Like, go up there and have some lobster and enjoy yourself and watch your team potentially get your teeth kicked in. Not Louisville, but others. Because I think that venue is going to be sick.
Uh-huh. I agree with everything. I think Rhode Island's got eyes on the prize, and I'm not jumping on the bandwagon. I think they're a little bit light on the defensive front personally and in the midfield, but on the outside and up top, they can definitely looks like they can play, and everybody else is just kind of gravy at this point in time. You're kind of waiting for the cows to come home in a good way. I think Rhode Island is just such a shiny penny right now. Everybody's focused on that, and I mean, how could you not, given Mike's point of the amount that they've spent, you know, the facilities. I think people need to acknowledge the fact that, you know, the idea of just maintaining some sort of presence isn't good enough anymore. The precedent has changed. And a lot of that has to do with Louisville, to be fair, because mm-hmm. everybody's chasing what is, in terms of results, the best organization USL championship. It's not hard statistically to figure that out. And every single year, if it's the striker, the goalkeeper, the defender, the midfielder, the team has evolved and found a way to change itself. Yes, there's been constants, but then it's the stadium and it's the training facility. And now everybody looks around and goes, well, crap, we can't just show up to the party with, you know, stuff that we threw together in the parking lot. And so teams they're chasing this vision of a path that has been put forth because of Lou City and the stars that were achieved a couple of years ago. You know, the ownership group in Rhode Island have done that. I'm excited to see what it ends up looking like. Mm-hmm. I think there's a little bit more fanfare than necessary at this point in time. They haven't even played a game, but I can understand why.
You go out and get the MVP.
The thing is, I can't get away from, you know, Manchester United. They played all, spent all that money on all those players, and they can't play together worth shit. So.
I mean, and Devin's muted, but he's got beef to follow up on. But if you look like Dev, like Yao comes from Whitecaps too. This is a huge step. Like, no, Darce's never played on a winner, like a real winner in the league. That's a big step. Like Stoneman and Koke, you know, the way they played in San Diego took time. That didn't just happen overnight. So to your point about them being a little light there, but like,
Stephen Turnbull wasn't exactly lighting it up in New York, right? But, like, talented, no, for sure. Growing together, like, takes time.
Well, and by the way, my favorite fact, because I'm at the point now where I've looked at all 14 NWSL teams, all 24 USL teams, and then an indeterminate amount of other teams going into this year. And Rhode Island went out and bought a player named Mark Doyle. Mark Doyle came from St. Pat's. Dev, you know a certain friend of ours who played at St. Pat's, a couple.
Who played at St. Pat's?
Stevie and Chambo in Colorado Springs. Right. Both played at St. Pat's. Right. So I went to St. Pat's while I was in Ireland last summer.
Oh, I forgot about this.
My wife loved it. It was amazing. They were playing Dundalk, and no shit, Mark Doyle, who just signed for Rhode Island, scored in the game I was at. So
girl.
I've been scouting for some time for this. I'm ready to go.
That's funny. I forgot about that.
I dug for this.
Not a girl. Get in there.
Anywho.
So I know time is running against us right here. It's I know you guys are really busy, and I appreciate you guys coming on and chatting with us again. So your predictions for the end of the season. Who's going to the final? Come on now. Little bit of fun.
Yeah, too much bourbon, man.
Go for it, Dev.
Go ahead and tick off 22 coaches, Dev.
Mm. I normally wait till week one to do this. oh, man, it is. You know, it's a real testament to the growth. Once again, I kind of utilize that phrase once or twice a year, but it gets harder every single year because of the depth and quality of squads that have been brought out.
You know, my expectation for this season, you know, Louisville City has still got to get to the playoffs, and we've got to get to the final. Got to get to the final.
I don't mind looking at the Rowdies and saying, wow, they're still good and they've added pieces. I just don't know what to get out of their manager yet. I don't know what that's going to look like. So Charleston added so much. I think it's insane to pick a team right now. If you had my arm behind my pack, I'd probably have to jump there. In the Western Conference.
Where's your arm?
Behind my back.
Okay.
I was going to use a different analogy, but we're not allowed to talk about those types of things anymore. if I was in the Western Conference,
I don't know about San Antonio until they make their 7 loan ads.
Yeah.
Wait till after the Open Cup and ask me then.
And sign 27 players to a 3-day contract as well.
here's the thing. There
I think New Mexico could turn some heads.
Well, and obviously they just had a huge loss in terms of injury in the last couple of days.
Yeah.
But yeah, what the coach there did at North Texas, like, could he do it at New Mexico? Yeah. Yeah, he could. Might do it really quick too.
Yeah. But I think the thing to your point though about Chris Weehan is like, the Bees was intermittent since his return.
Yes.
Didn't
it's a big loss for the room. It's not necessarily the biggest loss on the field because there hasn't been much to say on the field of late.
For sure.
Coming off
for
an
sure.
injury.
Yeah. So yeah, I just think I really respect Eric Quill. I thought the output that we saw out of that team was really what I've been begging to see out of them since their inception in 2019. I'm not picking them, but I don't know, man. You guys could ask me this question 5 games in, and I'd be like, oh, these teams are good, and they're going for sure.
Ask me in 5 minutes. I'll give you a different opinion.
We got to go do our radio show. So
yeah, well, I proposed a 5 games in. 5 games in, we need to do this again, and we'll revisit the question.
You got it, buddy.
We'll ask the question again when y'all are up here in Louisville. Appreciate you, boys. Thanks for dealing with my feedback. I'll try my best to edit it out. Thanks again for everything, guys.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks, boys. Thanks for all the shout-outs, because they're greatly appreciated. And we hopefully see you at our watch party place, which is the Melwood Tavern. This year, so we will be there every single game when Louisville City are playing away.